Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Peace, no.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show, Rob Sanders, superlative co-host, and boy, I'll tell you what, the able-bodied Joe McGranahan is here. He got a little sun over the weekend. He was hard at work. What did you do on your property? You said you had a lot of maintenance.
Power washed the house. Yeah, the power washed the swing. You have picnic table.
You have a gas-powered power washer.
Yes, mowed the lawn.
I'm so shocked.
Why?
Because that's a manly toy.
Hey, R.
I mean, you don't like guns and ATVs and things like that.
Well, those are love my pressure washer.
Okay. And you like your gas mower, of course?
Oh, of course, and the tractor.
Oh, darn. Jeez. And you didn't get injured.
No, I got a generator, snow blower. I got all this gas-powered
stuff.
Well,
yeah, you have outages in Shamokin Dam. Once a year, the power goes out for an hour.
Actually, I haven't used the generator in several years, but it's nice to have it around.
Okay. You didn't use it during the last power outage?
No, because it wasn't that long.
Okay.
Wasn't worth it. Wouldn't have been prudent.
Wouldn't be prudent. Who's that?
George H.W. Bush.
Being parodied by
Dana Carvey.
That's right. Okay. I have to.
Think about that.
My
for
Google's
a minute.
Slower than yours today. My brain Google. All right. Well, welcome aboard, everybody. It's WKOK's live telephone talk show on
I'm glad to be back where all I have to do is sit for 90 minutes and look at you.
There's good work if you can get it. Talk of that. That would deserve minimum wage.
That's about what it's worth.
All right. We invite people to invest in the show by calling us on the toll-free line, which is 1-800-795-9565. Our telephone number, that is 1-800-795-9565. You are welcome to email us throughout our program at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you're not a Text Connect member, please consider signing up at wkok.com. We send out breaking news via our Text Connect system. You sign up and we would send you information that says, you know, there was an incident breaking national or local news. I'm looking down through my phone. Here we go. The last Text Connect was a tornado watch that was posted May 29th. So we haven't had a Text Connect message since then, but it'll be soon time probably to get one out. Tornadic weather on the way. National breaking news, local breaking news. Let's see. What else would go out via Text Connect?
Dead celebrities.
Oh, yeah. Of course, I forgot. That's the big one. Blocked roads. If we get a road that is unexpectedly blocked here or is super slow for some reason, like construction on Routes 11 and 15 last week, that's the kind of thing you would get via Text Connect. So sign up at WKOK.com, and then you can use it to contact us. We have a few individuals who regularly use the Text Connect system to get their important opinions on the On the Mark show, so we invite you to do so. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number if you would be interested in giving us a buzz on any topic.
I got a big topic this
morning. Okay, what's that?
Well, you remember we talked about this a while back. An Ohio jury has ordered Oberlin College to pay $11 million to a bakery which said it was libeled and wrongfully accused of racially profiling students. The case stems from the November 2016 arrest of three black Oberlin students at Gilbson's Bakery and Market near the college's campus in Oberlin, Ohio. You may remember we talked about this at the time. One student,
when the lawsuit was filed.
Right. One student, Jonathan Aladdin, was accused of attempted robbery for allegedly trying to, quote, steal wine or otherwise illegally obtain wine from the bakery. According to a defamation lawsuit, he would eventually confess in a written statement to buying alcohol illegally. Two other suspects were arrested and accused of misdemeanor assault. After that, and here's where it gets interesting, Oberlin staff members tried to discredit the family-owned bakery. Oberlin College staff, including deans and professors and students, engaged in demonstrations in front of Gibson's Bakery following the arrest of the three students, the lawsuit stated. The suit also said that Oberlin Vice President and Dean of Students Meredith Raimondo and other college staff members handed out hundreds of copies of a flyer to the community and the media stating that Gibson's Bakery and its owners racially profiled and discriminated against the three students. The court documents include a copy of the flyer, which included the words, "Don't buy." This is a direct quote from the flyer. "This is a racist establishment with a long account of racial profiling and discrimination." The flyer also listed 10 of the bakery's competitors and urged customers to shop there instead. Then in November 2016, the lawsuit stated, Oberlin College said it severed its business ties with Gibson's Bakery. The shop had provided baked goods for the school's dining services through a third-party company. While the business's ties were reinstated 3 months later, the shop had already suffered severe consequences, the suit says. The combined effects of the defamation, boycotts, demonstrations, and refusal to do business with Gibson's Bakery was having a devastating effect on the bakery and the Gibson family. That's why I don't like these boycotts.
Okay. Well, yeah,
$11 million.
Plus, to get a college involved, you know, this is why you don't see colleges getting involved in this kind of thing regularly, because until you've done a finding, a verifiable fact, you just never know what really happened during these situations. And what, $11 million. So that's, but that should compensate for not only the lost revenue, but a little bit of punitive decision there. So, yeah, and you never know. We just don't know what really happened. And if they did racially profile, and if they did, you know, do something racist at the bakery, do you think pulling out all the stops against the bakery like this was a little overkill? Just a
but did the they do anything? I mean, the kid who originally started the problem, this Jonathan Aladdin, admitted finally that he did try to buy wine illegally from there.
Right. So,
so
that
they
happened.
Were following the law and stopping them from doing that, and the kids apparently got aggressive.
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean there never was any racial profiling within the building. Maybe they suspected every black that came in there and carded them or did extra scrutiny. But that's immaterial. It has nothing to do with the fact that the college wrongly
got
involved.
Well, they have a long account, as the flyer said, a long account of racial profiling. Why didn't the university do something about it long time ago?
Well, and what is that long account? Where, you know, where's the rest of the, you know, I realize they had that in a flyer. But where is that? Where's the evidence of that? If that had been, if this had just been the latest incident, I'm sure the jury would not have told the college to shell out $11 million.
Well, I rest my case on the fact that nobody here was a winner. The Gibson's Bakery people were, you know, really harmed economically for apparently no good reason. The college stands to be out $11 million and got a lot of bad publicity. The kids didn't exactly win because apparently they did create the problem. You know, I don't know what happened to them in the end.
And Gibson's will always be known as the place that racially profiled somebody.
Well, you know, that's what the claim was by these professors and the dean, according to...
Well, yeah, but I think once you hurt somebody's reputation like that, I think it sticks.
Well, it does, and that's why the jury, I think, awarded $11 million. You know, you want to say bad things about me that aren't true, it's going to cost you a few bucks.
We invite folks to call in. Joe and I could discuss this at length. I think we're in sort of agreement on one aspect of this, and that is the part that the college seems to have been in the wrong for this, at least initially, and then made it worse by, you know, promulgating these boycotts and so on. But what's your view on this? Give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number.
How do you racially profile somebody at a bakery? I mean, there's no allegation that they refused to serve the kids, only that they refused to sell them wine. Actually, they caught them trying to steal wine.
I think you stop all blacks for shoplifting would be the worst case scenario, but I doubt that that was the case.
Well, I mean, how do you profile somebody? In other words, in this case, if they felt Oberlin College students, did they profile them because they were of color or because they were college students?
I think they could.
And if it's because they were college students, is it unreasonable to assume that college students may have attempted to shoplift or take wine from the store in the past?
Are college students big shoplifters?
I don't know. If they want alcohol and they can't get it legally,
maybe
in this place, apparently this is a bakery and a store.
Okay, but they sell a cooler full of wine or something.
It's Ohio. I think you can sell wine in almost anywhere in Ohio. So if college kids come in and try to do that, whether they're black, white, yellow, red, or green.
But they're college age.
Is it unreasonable for the owners of the store, knowing that these people have in the past created a problem, to profile them, whether it's racial or not?
Well, this is the same issue that actually did come up about 20 years ago in a significant way in Williamsport, where a large number of the crimes that occur in Williamsport are done by individuals of color.
Okay.
But there is a large population of black people in the town, and police thought that during their saturation patrols that stopping and conversing with individual black people, African Americans, was perfectly appropriate because of those higher numbers, but magistrate said no. And that there was no probable cause in one of the searches that took place, and so that case was thrown out. It didn't turn into any big, you know, conflagration.
Right.
But just the fact that a lot of the crimes that do occur are done by blacks, that doesn't mean that every black can be stopped at any time.
No, it doesn't. And I think you need probable cause. You need something other than a person's color to make you suspicious of them.
And I want to really emphasize the fact that the individuals that are doing the crimes in Williamsport that tend to be African-American, these are primarily drug crimes that were taking place. I don't believe Williamsport is predominantly black by overall population, but in any event, certain neighborhoods where there was a little bit more poverty and a little bit more drug dealing could claim responsibility for most of the arrests that that took place in the town.
Well, if they in the past, if Oberlin or if the Gibson's Bakery had seen college students come in, and the fact that they were black didn't enter into it, I don't think they were racially profiling them.
Right.
They just looked like kids who were trying to get wine or something illegally.
Then it's age profiling.
Well, but is that so unreasonable to profile people based on your experience?
Probabilities.
And whether or not they've committed a crime in your location?
I'm going to have to say yes and no. I think it's wrong to suspect that all 20-somethings might be of a greater ability or a greater likelihood to commit a crime. But so I don't think that's right to think that most 20-somethings could be regular. But guess what? You know, Gibson's Bakery has arrested 13 shoplifters in the past 2 years, all of whom were 20. So
you're making that up.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm just saying. So this goes into our psyche. You know, who are the individuals? You know, you can codify the fact in Williamsport that you don't want to predominantly suspect people of color, but the mentality of a police officer, a man or woman who's doing the policing, has got to have a connection that starts to get established in their head that most of the individuals that they've arrested are of color.
Well, so again, I go back to my original question. If you notice that a propensity of the crimes committed in your business are from a particular group or race, is it wrong to give them extra scrutiny when they come through the door? Now, I don't think you make them uncomfortable, but, you know, the guy sitting behind the glass with the video cameras looking, is it wrong for him to pay special attention to those people, address the camera at them?
I don't know if he has the
but
chance
But yet it
to,
is technically racial profiling.
What, if you choose a 20-something or
no,
a black
No, I'm saying
person.
If you have a black person that committed a crime in your business and you believe that they are more than likely to be, because of the neighborhood or the circumstances, likely to be the ones who might cause a problem, is it wrong to give them extra scrutiny?
All right, audience, what do you think? 1-800-795-9565. If the vast majority of individuals that typically get arrests fit into some demographic category, should you scrutinize everyone else in that category when you have a chance to do so, whether whether it's 20-somethings, individuals of color, or kids that park their skateboards out front with a skateboard under one arm. I guess you're allowed to take skateboards into the businesses.
Are you?
I don't know. They're pretty dirty. They're running around on the surface. I can't think of anything else that you would bring into the store that would be as large a conveyance that might do. Well, I guess a wheelchair. Or your shoes. They've been outside. Anyway, 1-800-795-9565. Should we suspect skaters, individuals of color, 20-somethings of crimes, if that's the demographic who commits most of the crimes? 1-800-795-9565 is our toll-free lumber number. 1-800-795-9565.
Do we have any toll-free lumber?
Toll-free. Yeah, there's some brush. There's a brush pile out back. Okay. Anybody can have it.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We would just love to hear from you. Talking about a college, Oberlin College in Ohio. What town is it in?
Oberlin, Ohio.
Oh, that makes
hence
perfect.
The name.
Wow. Aptly named. Boy, Mr. Oberlin left, or maybe Mrs. Oberlin left a wide, long-lasting legacy. So, but in any event, potentially racially profiling and certainly overdoing their response to Bakery's arrest of a young man.
Well, they got $11 million judgment against them in the defamation trial brought by the bakery.
Well, the attorneys will whittle that back down to a reasonable size.
Well, on Friday, the jury found them liable for defamation, infliction of intentional emotional distress, and intentional interference of business relationships. How okay. about that?
Wow. So why are not, when we, you and I talk about these boycotts all the time, that's your least favorite way to get a message across, and it's often the first way that some people protest against a particular business. What is this crime interfering with business, and is anybody who promulgates a boycott guilty of it?
Well, they've got them to stop dealing with the bakery. The college stopped dealing with the bakery. They stood out in front. Employees of the college stood out in front with signs.
What's the actual charge there? Interference of business?
Business relationships.
Okay. Oh, right. Telling people that they were bad.
Right. So, I mean, that's exactly what happens when you get into these protests. I mean, my point here is that nobody won. I mean, this is sad all the way around. It's sad for the college. It's sad for the kids. It's sad for the bakery. Who won? You know, maybe they'll get $11 million out of this, but as you pointed out correctly, they're always going to have that stigma attached to their name because of the actions of the people who are trying to protest them from stopping people from doing an illegal act in their business. I mean, it doesn't seem like anybody won here to me. So.
One of our listeners sends me a text and says maybe they'll get more business because of this.
Well, that's possible.
This is the place that was smitten by the university falsely, so please shop again.
Well, they're in a liberal college town, so maybe not.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We are enjoying an Open Phones Monday. We would love to hear from you. The toll-free line, 1-800-795-9565. Friday, we had a resiliency discussion with folks in the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. Heard from a number of people. Jim Richmond from 1847 called in, and we also heard from Joanne Troutman, and we had some other folks call in with important information about how the Valley's recovering, how individuals are recovering, some services that are there. X percentage, we don't have a precise percentage, of individuals who worked at Woodmode are gainfully employed elsewhere, and I would think that would be terrible to try to do an adjustment like that if you've been trained to do one really important craftsman-type skill and then have to go into one of today's workplaces where you often have a wide range of things that need to be done. So we talked about that. Thursday, we talked about D-Day. We talked about, and to Howard Hendricks of Sunbury, age 99, was not a D-Day survivor, but was a survivor of combat in the Philippines and New Guinea. Fascinating conversation about the horrors of war, I guess, to put it any other way.
I wonder why you're recapping the last week when we had a caller
waiting. It's open phones. We had people that kept calling in and want to talk about these things.
Okay.
1-800-795-9565. Dick, thank you so much for calling in. You are on the mark.
Hey, well, I wanted to go back to last week. Obviously, the president and his party went to England and then off to France and Ireland and on and on and on. Anyhow, you know, I watched the speech of Macron and I watched the speech of Trump and the ceremony. It was very, very moving, and it was, and the speeches were excellent. And then to cap the day off, I was absolutely flabbergasted that Fox News and Laura Ingraham would do an interview with the president with the backdrop of that Normandy cemetery, which I consider hallowed ground, to just and use it for, among other things, to bash his opponents. I just thought it was in poor taste, whether he allowed it, whether Fox News did it, or the White House. I just think it was in poor taste. He could have done that anywhere, but to use that as a backdrop to me was almost sacrilegious in a sense.
You know, this may surprise you, but I completely agree with you.
Well, he should have done it there.
I think most everybody should agree with that. I mean, realistically, I don't expect him to go a day or two without bashing somebody. I mean, that's his nature. But just to use that as a backdrop, I'm not sure who would even think that was in good taste. It's in extremely poor taste.
Well, it may not have even been shot there. They may have just superimposed that backdrop. I don't know whether... I wanted to know where it was actually done.
And then Fox News is stupid.
Okay.
But obviously, it was on Fox News station, so obviously, whoever did it, the White House, Fox News, Laura Ingraham allowed it, the president, I just think it was in poor taste.
Well, what I'm asking is, was it done in front of a green screen, and without the president's knowledge, they later superimposed a photograph
from
that
cemetery?
I've
never heard anybody from the White House complain about it.
No.
Maybe I'm the only one that's kind of offended by it, in a sense. I just think that's hallowed ground to me. It would be like doing the same thing in front of the Arlington Cemetery, or I just think it's an extremely poor taste.
Well, if President Obama had done it, Fox would be apoplectic with criticism.
It would be one thing to say anything there, but then to use that as a backdrop to bash your opponents.
Right.
I mean, it's just, to me, it's stupid.
Well,
if he'd got on there and said, man, this is a great cemetery and these are honored veterans, and let it go at that. But then just to go on and on and on about that, just, to me, was just, I'm sorry, I don't care if one person agrees with me. It really doesn't matter to me, but as a veteran, I just think it's ignorant, and I'll let it go at that.
Well, you got one person who agrees with you, me.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Well, I agree.
I appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Oops, I'm sorry. I think he had another sentence.
I think he did as well.
Sorry about that. Is he still there?
Still there, buddy?
Okay, sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
I think I cut him off before he was done. Sorry. But
I mean, that was a terrible choice of video.
Well,
optics.
It looked like a blue screen to me. It didn't look real.
Well, that's why
like
I said
it was superimposed.
Is it blue or green? Usually they do green screens,
blue screen. Yeah, blue screen. I'm old now.
But, I mean, the president wouldn't see anything except that green screen. He wouldn't know what they were superimposing behind him. I mean, you turn on TV in the morning. Well, for example, this morning I watched Morning Joe for a few minutes. Behind him there's the White House, and behind her there's the Capitol. So you know they weren't at different locations. They just put those up on the green screen. Nothing wrong with that.
You're the only Morning Joe that people need.
Oh, thank you.
I agree completely. On the mark.
But seriously, I mean, I agree with Dick from the standpoint that it was a terrible optic, and I don't think it should have been done.
But see, he was in France at the time, and they had the green screen set up wherever they were interviewing him, and so they're ready to go. And they did ask him about things that related to D-Day and the observance, but then the interview moved on to other topics, so they can't change the screen to something else.
Well, they could.
Well, that's true. They could change it to anything. Right. They could have switched it to Mount Everest.
They could have Bozo the Clown back there doing a tap dance.
Well,
he
was already in the foreground, so you don't.
I should have realized you might come up with that.
You wouldn't want to put him in twice. But anyway, so, yeah, I think you'll find most people, I think it's relatively indefensible. Am I correct? I mean, nobody's standing up for the president. Nobody's going to call in and say, oh, no, it's appropriate to go to the...
I don't know if he did it. That's what I'm saying. If he chose that optics, said, listen, I'm going to be at the cemetery, we'll do a sit-down here in front of it, then it's on him. But if Fox chose that particular graphic to superimpose behind him and he was unaware, then I don't think he deserves any condemnation for that.
Well, and I think part of it that kind of sticks out is that he's always pretty venomous toward her, given an open mic, but he seemed particularly...
Toward Laura Ingraham?
No, towards Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, okay.
That was the main target of the remarks that I heard. But he was particularly strident against her in that interview, and a lot more adjectives.
She had just said that she wanted to see him in jail. I think that he probably was a little perturbed by that.
Oh, yeah, maybe it's completely appropriate. For him, maybe it was, sort of the tit-for-tat thing, and that was just the latest volley. That could be quite all right, but like you said, in front of the cemetery is not the right place. But he did seem particularly... angry at whatever it was that
she's
done
with all this
lately.
Name-calling, how do you ever work with somebody? If you and I sat here and called each other names every day, at some point it would be a little difficult for me to come in here and work with you, and probably difficult for you to work with me.
That is a good point. We talk about Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan. Oh, sit down. Jeez. Getting along and coming up with deals and maybe having an adult beverage along the way to help, get the compromise going. I don't see the president would ever be able to do that with Nancy Pelosi. They'd never be able to sit down together after these latest remarks against each other.
Right. And same with Chuck Schumer.
To be continued, we're going to keep enjoying open phones. We'll have some news headlines coming up shortly. You are listening to On the Mark on News Radio 1070, WKOK Sunbury, WKOK News Time. It is 9 o'clock CBS News, then local news on the way.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Rob Centers, fabulouser than ever. We appreciate that. He launches into a new week of being our producer. We appreciate that. It's June 10th, 2019. Joe's here, too. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to do as I have done and will do. Visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. Tell them you got a road trip planned and you need a trip check. They have a 100-point check. They check all the inflations of the tires. They check the alignment. And they make sure the belts are tight and the fluids are topped off. They can wash the vehicle and get it ready for that road trip. Whatever it takes, they'll do that. They specialize in all types of service there. State inspections. They'll pump you up with nitrogen. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Find them on the web at SunburyMotors.com. If you can't find the vehicle you want on the lot, you can build a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln to your precise specifications. And they are a premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks and all sizes of trucks, plus the master towing service. They would just love to super serve you at the Sunbury Motor Company. Now, our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. We had one comment about President Trump rather inappropriately depicted in front of probably the cemetery at Normandy, where it is full of Allied and U.S. service men who were killed in the D-Day invasion. The question is, are there any women buried in the France cemeteries? Well, I'll ask Joe that question. So that call came in, how inappropriate it was for the president to do the Nancy Pelosi bashing at that location. We've also talked about Oberlin College in Ohio, where the school actively encouraged a boycott against a particular business and rather uncertain circumstances surrounding an arrest there. So what's your thoughts on that? 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Some brief news headlines. The Northumberland County Coroner has not been able to identify a man who was hit by a train yesterday south of Sunbury along Route 147. As a result, the county coroner, James Kelly, says the victim in his 40s or 50s is being talked about, had a tattoo on his upper back with the word white boy. Stonington State Police say the victim was walking in the middle of the tracks when he was struck. Anyone with information on that individual asked to call police. Should we or should we not legalize marijuana in Pennsylvania?
Should recreational marijuana eventually be legalized in Pennsylvania, Lebanon County District Attorney Dave Arnold says the state would need to address what its law would say compared to federal law, which classifies marijuana as a controlled substance and prohibits those who use marijuana from owning firearms.
The only way you could obtain a firearm in such a circumstance, therefore, would be to lie on the federal form when you fill it out, which again is a violation of both state and federal law.
Arnold says lawmakers may also need to address what state law says about those using medical marijuana. Currently, if a person has any marijuana in their system, whether medical marijuana or otherwise, they're considered to be driving under the influence.
Mark Sims, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Top Democratic leaders in Washington, D.C. may be in no rush to launch an impeachment inquiry, but the party is launching a series of hearings this week on Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report. The slate of hearings on the Russian probe means lawmakers are picking up the pace in an investigation that some in the party hope leads to impeachment of Donald Trump. Democrats are trying to draw attention to allegations that the president sought to obstruct a federal investigation, and they want to highlight his campaign's contacts with Russia in 2016. They'll lay the groundwork for an appearance from Mueller himself, despite his stated desire to avoid the spotlight. The hearings will focus on the two main topics of Mueller's report, obstruction of justice and Russian election interference. And it's the ultimate good review, one could say. Oscar-winning actress Olivia Colman has been honored by Queen Elizabeth II, the monarch she's about to play on the Netflix royal family TV drama The Crown. Colman was given the honor of being named a Commander of the Order of the British Empire. Colman won a Best Actress Oscar this year for playing 18th century monarch Queen Anne in The Favorite. She plays Elizabeth in the upcoming third season of The Crown, which is currently in production. Colman says she's totally thrilled, delighted, and humbled by the honor. What happened to the old queen? That's what I want to know.
Well, they're going to a more elderly or more mature queen.
Okay.
And so I guess they felt they couldn't age the actress who had been playing her and who did a wonderful job, I thought.
Right. Award-winning, I hope.
Was. And so is the current actress who's getting the job. So I think it'll be, you know, an excellent season.
But
I mean, they couldn't keep her young forever.
Well, yeah, but why can't they just put a ton of makeup on her? I mean, they age people.
Well, I guess they thought it was more difficult to do that than it would be to go out and get another actress who was a little more mature.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. If you want the old actress with tons of makeup, you don't want the new older one. 1-800-795-9565. What's your view on this, Bobby? You're on the mark.
Well, I called in to talk about the president and Nancy Pelosi name calling, and you know I agree with Joe. How can people how can anyone in a government situation or any situation get anything accomplished if they're going to attack each other? And I think it's in poor taste of both of them, but yet at the same time, the media coverage they feed on that.
True enough.
And I think that's wrong. But what one does, the other does now? I mean, in that case, it's both, it shows both poor leaders, poor examples of leaders.
Okay. Well, yeah, we don't have any good leaders in Washington that I know of. Well,
Mitch McConnell?
Well, Fred Keller, maybe.
All right, thank you.
Yep. I thought you were going to take me up on that when I said Mitch McConnell. I thought I was going to get an argument from him.
Oh, they're all excellent leaders. Yeah, President Trump, she's a disgrace, he said about her. I don't think she's a talented person. I've tried to be nice to her. I would have liked to. We would have gotten some deals done, but she's incapable of doing deals. She's a nasty, vindictive, horrible person. So, yeah, he's a little bit...
Yeah, it'd be hard to put your arm around her and say, how you doing, Nancy, the next time she walks into the room.
So how's that nasty, vindictive, horrible personality coming for you?
But if tomorrow she supported something the president supported, he'd probably change his tune about her.
She's a wise leader, and I'm glad she came on board.
But it does. I mean, it makes it that much harder to get anything done when you're that adversarial and confrontational. And it's not just him. It's her, too. I mean, she called him names and says she wants to see him in jail. You know, if you know Donald Trump as a counterpuncher, and I think if we've learned anything about Donald Trump in the 2 years he's been president, he is a counterpuncher. You take a slug at him, he's going to slug you back.
Right, double.
Generally, if you leave him alone, he pretty much lets you alone. He might have a nickname for you here or there, but, you know, he doesn't really come down on you. But you swing at him, and he's going to be swinging back. And I think that's what the American public wanted when they elected him.
Right, we want somebody who's like a sort of a boxer. You know that.
Well, I think we were tired of politics as usual. I mean, Barack Obama was a very decent guy. What was it that Joe Biden said about him? He's a clean black guy. Whatever that comment was that he made about him during the primary. But I mean, Barack Obama was a good family man. I think he tried to do the best for the country as he saw it. I disagreed with him, but I don't attribute any base motives to him. But he certainly didn't call people names. And I think he tried to work across the aisle to the best of his ability. I think he ignored that precept during Obamacare when he could have brought the Republicans on board and maybe got something done that everybody could agree on. But then President Trump has missed the boat the same way. So, I mean, it's politics getting in the middle of government.
Right. Instead of having any real government, we get arguing instead.
Then we get politics.
You know, the preponderance of the coverage seems to indicate that they were just a few feet away from the thousands of white grave markers at the Normandy American Cemetery, where more than 9,000 American war dead are buried. Trump gave an interview to Fox's Laura Ingraham, where he said...
He was at the cemetery.
That's what, BBC is reporting, in which he insulted former special counsel Robert Mueller and said Nancy Pelosi, or Nervous Nancy, as you referred to her, is a disaster. And then
okay.
He went on to...
Well, if he sat down in front of those tombstones knowing he was going to do something like that, then our earlier caller was absolutely correct. It's indefensible.
It's a long-standing... Well, the BBC, they're talking about this, of course, from their perspective. It was a long-standing tradition that American politicians would leave politics at the water's edge when they traveled abroad, meaning you don't smear your political opponents when you're outside the country. But it used to be a tradition that they would not smear the president either while he was overseas. Now, you've talked about that.
Right.
But now both sides have done so repeatedly with gusto.
Okay. Whose story is that, AP?
No, a BBC.
BBC, okay. Well, I agree with them.
So,
and they have done it with gusto, and both sides are guilty of it.
I love the gusto. That accurately describes his disdain for her.
Well, and describes her disdain for him, too. I mean, we had the Mueller report, which couldn't find any evidence of collusion, couldn't find enough evidence to charge him with obstruction of justice.
Not that the president was involved in, but his henchmen were involved in
it. All right, well, you know, but the main focus should be on stopping anything else going forward, but that's not what we're doing. We're dragging the same thing up again. And the Republicans, let's face it, I mean, if the Democrats are going to do this now, the Republicans are going to do it later when there's a Democratic president. You know, this is not good governance, I don't think.
1-800-795-9565. We're talking about President Trump and our bad government. Of course, we could talk about bad government for centuries if we're talking about Harrisburg or Washington. But feel free to add your 2 cents to that. We had one item in the news. One committee in Harrisburg, I believe one of the judiciary committees, is talking about what would the issues associated with legalized marijuana be if it were to be legalized in Pennsylvania. And aside from the fact that there's a bill pending, there's absolutely no momentum for that. Budget talks are underway, so people in Harrisburg are trying to hide the fact that they're...
Somebody did introduce a legislation to permit recreational marijuana?
Yeah, last year we talked about this. A bill was introduced, but I don't think it got out of committee.
Well, last year it would have had to been redone because of the end of the legislative
this
term.
Year. Yeah, there is one pending, I believe, anyway. But maybe it did die at the end of last year. But in any event, you know, the idea of legalizing marijuana is occasionally talked about. There's no momentum for it, I can tell you that. I mean, the lieutenant governor did his remarks, and all it really did is solidify the fact that things are likely to stay the same for now in Pennsylvania.
Well, we have such great examples to look at. Colorado, where they have done it, and they're apparently expanding it. But the number of fatal traffic accidents is up in Colorado. Mm-hmm. You know, there. I think we have a good opportunity to look closely at the states where it is being done to determine.
What, Oregon also?
Oregon, California, yeah, the those kind of crazy states out there.
All right. Well, we have said into the microphone the magic elixir for texts and emails, the word Trump. And so we will read those messages shortly. But we invite you to use the third venue and the biggest to contact us about the president and his highly inappropriate remarks in France. 1-800-795-95.
No, I don't think his remarks are inappropriate. Where he delivered them were inappropriate.
Okay. 1-800-795-9565. Or is this the new normal? Anything goes anywhere. 1-800s. And the president has forged that path triumphantly. You can say
with gusto, as you said earlier.
Right. Well, that's the BBC's word. 1-800-795-9565. Call us now.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
So they say it's not just Rob playing a nice song.
No, it's, we're back.
Okay.
I'm glad you were so relaxed over there.
I'm listening to my headphones, relaxed.
All right. Well, we have some comments here from one of our texters. He says, from day one, November 8th, 2016, the day Trump won the election, the Dems have done nothing but attack the president, threatening impeachment before he was even sworn into office. I wouldn't want to work with these people either. And then when your use of the word henchman came up.
Half of whom have been convicted and
right.
Some are in jail.
A texter says, henchman of Trump? Really, Mark? The only henchmen colluding with Russia were Hillary's. Change my mind.
Okay.
You want to change his mind?
I don't think I could do that.
Okay.
Not with Stan. He knows what he's talking
about.
And
then Dick says, I would really add, in addition to the Speaker of the House, the president used the occasion to speak of little Bobby Mueller, a Purple Heart Vietnam War hero. Really?
Yeah, I'm reading on Wikipedia about Mueller, who is a Marine. After waiting a year so a knee injury could heal, Mueller joined the U.S. Marines Officer Training School in 1968, attending training at Parris Island, Officer Candidate School, Army Ranger School, and Army Jump School, which begged the statement that I said to Joe, okay, so you get over your new knee injury and immediately start jumping out of airplanes. So that seemed ironic. But anyway, of these, he later said he considered Ranger School the most valuable because he felt more than anything it teaches you how to react with no sleep and nothing to eat. Served as a platoon leader, and what, he led troops through a heavy firefight?
Right.
Okay.
And the first they thought he was just another 90-day wonder, if you will, but apparently he won their respect by leading them through a jungle firefight.
Received an enemy gunshot wound in the thigh, recovered, and returned to his lead
platoon. And kept on fighting.
In 1969.
So, does this mean he's exempt from criticism?
Because he's a Purple Heart. Well, our listener, Dick, points out the irony of having the interview in front of the cemetery, and this makes criticizing.
Entirely inappropriate.
Right.
I agree.
This makes it a little worse when you stand in front of a cemetery of thousands of U.S. soldiers who gave their life and start to criticize a Marine who's a medal winner, even though you disagree with him politically.
Well, he came down on John McCain. John McCain had a couple of medals to his honor.
Right. So I guess it sort of doesn't have a standard in that.
Well,
area.
I mean, if you win an award like that, does that mean for the rest of your life you're exempt from criticism? No one should ever criticize you because, well, you won a Purple Heart or
well,
you won a Silver Star
oh
or
gosh,
a Bronze
no.
Star.
geez, look at all the politicians who have good military
careers. You're right. In fact, many of them use their military careers as a springboard to public office. John F. Kennedy comes to mind.
Part of their resume.
Right.
Dwight Eisenhower.
Well, go back to Ulysses S. Grant if you want to go back far enough.
He was in the Army?
Jackson, Tippecanoe, and Tyler, too. They were all involved in that.
Okay.
You know, we have a history of military leaders or people using military experience to lead to the presidency.
Well, I think Buttigieg is a veteran, I believe.
I'm not sure about that.
I think it's on his resume. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Saw an interesting meme over the year, picture of Joe Biden, and says Joe Biden has now worked in Washington, D.C. officially for, I think, 30 years. And now he wants to be elected so he can fix everything.
Right.
He's been there for 30 years.
I found that amusing as well.
But anyway, on the topic of me saying that the president's henchmen are in jail, Stan sets me straight.
He says the people in jail from the Mueller investigation were convicted of crimes not related to the election. And that's true.
Nobody had anything to do with the election?
No.
Oh, okay. All 26 of them?
Is that how many there are?
Well, that's how many have been indicted or questioned or not questioned, but charged and fined, and some are jailed, and more are coming up.
Well, two separate issues here. First of all, the president should not have given the interview in front of the cemetery. Completely agree with that.
We're clear on that.
And, you know, again, the guy's a counterpuncher, and if you come after him, he'll come after you. So this is more of what he does, although should he have done it on foreign soil? Well, if the Democrats have respected the long-standing tradition that you don't criticize a president when he's out of the country, then I would say he shouldn't have said anything. But since they criticize him when he's out of the country, I don't see any harm in him doing the same thing to them. However, I don't like the whole thing. I don't like them insulting him, him insulting them. You know, we need to find some way for these folks to get along so they can focus on government.
Which speech did you like best, the president's or President Macron's?
Macron's.
And,
you know, and that's only, you know, neither Macron nor the president wrote the speech. I'm sure they're speech writers. But I thought Macron's acknowledgement of the debt France owes to the United States was particularly poignant. You know, and then someone pointed out, well, we wouldn't be independent if it weren't for the French. So even though our relationship with the British has been close and binding for many years, it didn't start off that way.
If the French didn't help us in the Revolutionary War, we'd be English?
We would still be likely colonists. I don't think we could have won that war without French help. The best we could have hoped for was a long-term stalemate, and hopefully—and I think there's some evidence that the British were getting tired of the war, the cost of it. Mm-hmm. Eventually, we might have worked something out. But the French—I mean, already the Revolutionary War was longer than anybody thought it would be at the time. But the French helped shorten that up, and— we owe them a lot.
No French, no U.S.
Well, not at least initially. I mean, I think it could have maybe a few years later.
Okay.
I don't think we would have remained a colony as long as some of their other colonies did into the after World War II. That started to break up. I doubt that we would have been a colony up until World War II.
Well, we're talking history, which is my favorite subject to listen to, Joe. This is when I heed what Joe tells me. These are good statements. If you want to call in about this topic, Macron versus Trump's speech, you're right. They didn't write them, but President Macron's was really fabulous. But see, President Macron really called attention to the longstanding relationship between the U.S. and France and really how deep and meaningful it really is. And President Trump, his speech wasn't as noteworthy, but it didn't have that theme. It was about individuals. And he talked about people, you know, you never heard about. Women you never heard much about, or men who were soldiers in, you know, U.S. Marines or whatever, and did heroic things that we didn't always hear about.
No, that's true, and I like that aspect of it. But there were so many heroes. Singling any particular group out seems to me to be a disservice to so many people who fought and died and gave such a tremendous sacrifice.
For whom no story is told.
Right. We don't know their story, or their story isn't as well known, so we don't tell it. But that doesn't mean they should be given short shrift. I mean, those are the people, those guys who willingly jumped off those boats at age 19, 18 and 19, to take back that continent. How do you even measure that? I mean, I can't imagine what they went through. You know, and I thank God every day for their sacrifice, and that I wasn't called upon to make one like that.
Well, and that the odds of survival were so small, and that part of your strategy was just to use up all, you know, one element of the strategy is just use up all the ammunition that they have available with people at the other end of it. You know, how do you plan for that, or how do you fight that?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know how you plan for it or fight it, but, I mean, obviously they did. And I think, you know, going back to the speeches, President Macron's acknowledgement of France's debt, as I said, I thought was very, very poignant. I mean, he really pointed out the fact that we came to their rescue. And I always remember that after the war, and here's the striking difference between Macron and Charles de Gaulle. De Gaulle wanted American troops out of there. And I think it was General Omar Bradley. I may be wrong in that. He says, I want American troops out of here. And General Bradley, I think it was, and I may be wrong on this, said, does that include the ones who are buried here?
Well said.
You know, and I thought, boy, that nothing says it more powerfully than that. You know, Americans have gone to war many times over the years, and we've never gone to war for conquest of territory. You know, we have, in fact, rather picked our enemies up off the ground, brushed them off, set them back up again, and look at Germany and Japan today.
Yeah, our trading rivals, if you want to call them that, they kind of outtrade us.
So I think between President de Gaulle and President Macron, I'll take President Macron any day of the week.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is the open phone. We're going to take a quickie break. We do have one more email or text before we go. It's Stan telling me, quite appropriately, there's a big difference between jailed and being indicted. And I know that to be true. All right, thank
it's
you.
It's like love and marriage. You can't have one without the other.
Love and marriage. Oh, all right, we have an open line.
Oh, my God.
1-800-795. Are you okay, buddy?
Not if you're singing, I'm not.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com.
Marriage.
Come on, sing it. Go,
no,
go, go.
No, thank you.
Love and marriage, love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother.
All right.
So like indictments and convictions, you can't have one without the other.
Yeah, we're talking about the Trump administration.
You can't have a conviction without an indictment. You can't have an indictment. Well, you can't have an indictment without a conviction. So they don't all always go together.
Trump
in any event,
and indictments, indictments, and Trump go
and
together.
And Dan's on the phone. So good morning, Dan. You're on the mark.
Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. You know, many people forget God put Trump in office.
You really believe that?
Yes,
I thought
I
the
do.
American voters did.
Yep. That,
I don't think
know,
God. I don't recall God coming down through a clap of thunder and saying, "Donald Trump's my boy."
God wouldn't have wanted Trump in office. Someone else would have made it.
Well, that much is very true.
I think I voted for Trump. And many people think they voted for Trump. That's why he won. But the Almighty had his hand in there. And he put Trump in that office for a reason. Now,
but you can't make that argument, Dan, without also saying that he put Barack Obama there. Doesn't that make God look a little questionable in terms of, well, I think this way now and I think another way later?
You know, I agree. But... I had the same feeling. Barack Obama won, and I know I went to work the next day, and someone came to my work area and started to rub it in. Well, you didn't get your wish, and I had an attitude. You know, a few minutes later, at break time, I sat there and thought, well, I had a bad attitude, and God put Barack Obama in office for a reason. I may not agree, but God's the Almighty, and he's my president from this time on. It took me a half a day to get my attitude right. The Almighty rules, and I don't know, I can't tell you every reason God put Obama in. I can't tell you every reason God put Trump in. but I know more reasons why God would have put Trump in. That's, I can say that about it. I don't pretend to know everything that the Almighty does, but God has a will for the world, and Trump's in there fulfilling it.
God sent Vladimir Putin to help the president, and it worked.
And, well, some people think that, but that's the...
I don't think anybody thinks that.
It isn't funny. Putin helped anybody. He helped Hillary try to win, but she didn't get it done. But here's the thing. They'll never... I don't expect anybody that opposes Trump ever to lay down their arms. I think this opposition is going to keep on, and if he wins the next election, like it looks like he will, because I don't know who can take him out of there, but if he wins the next election, it's going to be four more years of impeach, and not his great programs are going to be impeded that he wanted for America. Then I don't know what'll happen.
Well, let me ask you a question. If God had a hand in getting Trump in there, and presumably it's because God wanted his plans implemented, why would God let Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer stand in his way?
Well, that's just... This happens.
You have to ask the Democrats for that.
Administrations... If you study Scripture, when David was put in as king, he had opposition... He had so much opposition to his kingship. They had a coup. There were coups to get him out of kingship. They tried back then. A coup wasn't a silent coup like this one we have with Trump. They actually tried to murder him and kill him, and it came close a couple times. There's always opposition to authority that's in office. And this is what we have with President Trump. He's trying to do what's right, but it's opposition every day. He don't start these battles. They start it. You remember, they accused Trump of going along with Lock Her Up. That was the people in the crowd. That was the Trump supporters. They started it. And after the election was over, Trump went into office. He went to a rally, and they were saying, look, he just said, hold it down. He said, we're going to go past that. We're not going to go back. We're going to go forward and try to get things done.
All right.
Well, the opposition kept it right up. They kept opposing everything Trump done. Look, you know, impeach. He's not worthy of being our president. So he never tried to stop them. When they said lock her up, he left them go. He didn't try to stop it.
Okay.
And the same with Nancy Pelosi. She said, I don't want to see him impeached. I want to see him in jail. What a low-level statement that was. So now...
All right, we got to move on.
He pulled out the stops, and he's punching back. He had great respect for Nancy. He wanted her as Speaker of the House as a Democrat. He supported her. People forget that.
All right.
But she turned the tables on him.
All right, we got you.
Yep, you guys have a good one.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate the call, Dan. 1-800-795-9565. One listener says, good morning. The president claims he got a deal with Mexico because of tariffs, Wrong. The deal was made months ago by Mexico.
Well, there's another example of somebody not giving the president credit for anything.
Well, I heard the president created the Mexican dilemma and then solved it. That much is for sure. But all of the things that Mexico is going to do now, what is it, in the next 90 days, should help the situation. We know that we...
If they do them. I think part of the problem is that they agreed to some of this stuff before and they didn't follow through.
Well, maybe there's no accountability.
The president's holding their feet to the fire this time, and I think he should do that. you know, in the absence, I watched a little bit of Morning Joe this morning, and even they, even they admitted that there's a crisis at the border in terms of the number of people coming across. And yet they don't propose anything. They just say, well, it's President Trump's fault. They had a little graphic that showed that President Obama had cut down the number of people crossing the border or being apprehended at the border.
Well, and they believe, help create the dilemma by saying that we're going to seal the border so everybody senses
more urgency. The argument they made is that that plays right into the hands of the coyotes and others down there by saying, if you're going to go to the United States, you better go now before it's too late.
Well, that much is true. I mean, that's been, well, it's sort of stated fact by everybody down there that more people are interested in coming into the
U.S. But that doesn't solve the problem.
Right. It doesn't. You're right. It doesn't help. It's not a solution. It's just an observation, an accurate observation. All right. Well, we'll take more comers. We have talked about the president. We started out talking about Oberlin College. One of our listeners very wisely pointed out that President Trump doing the interview in front of the Normandy American Cemetery was inappropriate, particularly when he was using the opportunity to criticize Robert Mueller and Nancy Pelosi. So that's water under the bridge. Now, of course, the president does not apologize, as he says, but he probably won't, you know, clarify that any further. And what are we talking about now? We talked about the French helping out the U.S. during the
Revolution. Well, how about this?
Oh, ammunition.
Ammunition. California ammunition providers are seeing a spike in sales ahead of a new state law that will clamp down on individuals trying to buy ammo. Now, I wonder if this would be one of your common sense gun regulations you always talk about. Proposition 63, which Governor Gavin Newsom made a cornerstone of his campaign, was approved by voters in 2016 and is slated to go into effect July 1st. From San Bernardino to Ventura to Poway, too many Californians have already died from gun violence, Newsom said last week. I champion Prop 63 because it is beyond time that we take common sense actions such as these to keep deadly ammunition out of the wrong hands and protect our communities.
We have an ammo problem in
the law U.S. will create more restrictions on ammo buyers by forcing them to buy face-to-face from licensed gun dealers rather than the Internet, according to the Los Angeles Times. It will require individuals to purchase ammunition, again, face-to-face from licensed gun dealers. So I guess they won't be selling ammo out of Walmart anymore or out of,
You would be able to buy it at Walmart. Well,
if they have a licensed gun dealer on premises.
I don't think Walmart sells firearms anymore, but or ammo. And Dick's is getting out of the business also. But in any event, at a licensed gun dealer, you'd have to go through the same background check to get ammunition that you do for a gun. So it's a costly endeavor. That's probably one of the reasons.
But if you've already got an application for a gun and permission for a gun, it seems insane not to have that same permit cover your right to purchase ammunition.
Well, yes and no. You may not have purchased a gun legally. You know, so I don't know that this is one of the common sense measures. This seems kind of like a sort of a strange topic. You know, you can just, first of all, if you're in California, you can just drive across the border to the neighboring states and buy as much ammo without a background check as you want or order
it. Or does Prop 63 make it illegal to possess ammunition that wasn't purchased in state?
No, there's no taxing or stamping of it or anything.
That's
it
next.
It does not do that. It requires individuals who live in California to buy their ammunition from a licensed gun dealer, and they undergo a background check at that time, and they feel as though that will prevent criminals who have, it was illegal for them to own weapons or to buy weapons, to prevent them from having ammunition. But it's a ridiculous statement. You know, it's like you can buy, if we think you're going to cause a crash, you can buy three tires anywhere, but that last tire you have to buy at a licensed tire of a Firestone dealer, the Sunbury Motor Company. You must buy there. Well, you know, people will just go out of state or elsewhere. Or,
well, who else is selling ammunition besides? I mean, how many people are affected by this in terms of having to, that they can't buy their ammunition where they always got it before? Do convenience stores sell ammunition in California?
You can buy ammo at regular stores. Yeah, I think they probably have to.
Well, you
have
said
firearms,
Walmart doesn't do it, and you said
well,
the Dick's
Walmart's
is getting out
of the
business.
Firearm business because
so
of mass shootings.
Who's in it? Who's in the firearm business? Target isn't, at least not at our
Yeah,
Target.
I would think some smaller stores, like outdoor stores or fishing stores.
So they
stores
won't be able to sell it anymore. You go up
well,
in the mountains.
They would have to have a background check situation.
No, it says a licensed gun dealer has to sell you the ammunition face-to-face.
They'd have to go through all of that. to get that. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, so they would lose the opportunity. But I don't know how you control stuff going through the mail. You can't legally. Well, I guess the person selling it would not be allowed to sell
to California.
Well, if
I got a mail package from Arnie's Ammo in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, somebody might think I was buying bullets
illegally. Well, Arnie's would be on the hook for selling to somebody in California then.
Why?
Too.
Is it illegal?
It is in California to buy ammo over the
internet.
Well,
that's what I ask. Is that part of the Prop 63?
Right. Yeah, that's what it's doing, is to prevent people from buying their ammo on the internet. The assumption is that you are not able to purchase a firearm legally. And so when it comes time for ammo, you can go any place you can get it or over the internet to get the ammo. Now, in order to get the ammo, you're going to have to purchase that illegally also. And they think that will stop crime. But it flies in the face of the main premise of a criminal, and that they do things criminally. It's how they operate. It's their whole shtick.
Well, you know, frankly, if you point a gun at me and say your money or your life, I'm not going to stop to debate whether or not you have ammunition in the gun. If you're pointing the gun at me, I'm going to assume you have ammunition in it, and I'm going to give you my money.
I don't think it's going to stop gun-related crimes. I think you're going to have individuals behaving illegally with guns and ammo that were purchased illegally. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Give us a buzz right now. We're talking about California's ammo law that requires ammunition sales to be done in person at a licensed firearm dealer rather than at a over the internet or from somebody who's not licensed to sell ammo. 1-800-795-9565. We will be right back. All right. Probably the funniest email we've gotten in a while. Go ahead. Might as well hit that one.
Right. In respect to our earlier caller who said God sent President Trump, Bob says, "Hello, God. Would you not send the United States of America a president who lies every day, who is married 3 times and has cheated on all of them while married, has ordered everyone to lie for him and not testify when they get a subpoena? Nancy said it right. He is not worth impeachment. He needs to go to jail." Signed, Bob.
All right. On the topic of selling ammunition, the texts, please.
All right. One of our texters says, "Walmart still sells guns and ammo, maybe not in socialist California. Gee, do you think this will stop criminals? Don't think so. They're criminals. This is to stop online ammo sales. Most dealers selling guns online will not sell to buyers in California."
Yeah, Walmart does not sell AR-15s, but they do sell hunting firearms or target firearms. They just don't sell AR-15s, and their purchase age is 21 rather than 18. So I said they were going toward not selling at all, but that's not true. What they're doing is raise the age to 21, and they don't sell either AR-15s, bump stocks, they're banned everywhere now, but high-capacity magazines and similar accessories. I'd like to see what a similar accessory is. Lance, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, hi there. Well, do you realize from 1968 until 1986, you could only buy ammunition and components from a federally licensed firearms dealer.
Okay.
Even if you wanted to buy just the bullets themselves, not loaded, not powder, not anything like that, but just the bullets themselves, they had to come from a licensed dealer.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that really helped crime at all like that. But I think the dirty little secret of buying the ammunition in California is that you must undergo a background check when you buy the ammo. So here you go, to buy a box of 30-06s, let's say, for $20, and it costs you $25 to get the background check done.
Well, yeah, so
is that every time?
Yeah.
Every time you buy ammunition?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the way that goes.
But why not just have one time you get a license for a gun? Why not get a license to buy ammunition?
They don't do that because people's status changes. They may be eligible today, but tomorrow
But they're not taking the guns back from people whose status has changed.
Well, that's not how the gun sale law works. There are laws that relate to confiscating guns from individuals at times.
Under specific circumstances, right. But, you know, why not just take their ammunition away from them if that's the case? If the ammunition's the problem, let them have the guns. Just take their ammo away.
Just go up to Oregon and buy all the ammo.
And you can't
want.
Buy any ammunition anywhere except unless you have a permit from the government, right?
Right.
You agree with that, huh? Do you think that's a common-sense gun regulation?
See, today I might be legal, but tomorrow I will be a fugitive from justice, addicted to marijuana, adjudicated mentally defective, and discharged from the armed forces dishonorably. That's why you do a background check on guns every time, because you may be innocent of all of these kinds of questions now, but tomorrow you may renounce your U.S. citizenship, turn into an alien illegally in the U.S., and may be convicted of a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence. All of those things can happen, or have a court order restraining me because of harassment, stalking, or threatening a child. Mm. So today I haven't done any of those things, but tomorrow I'm thinking I may do all of them.
Well, I'm glad I'm not here tomorrow to watch you do that.
We're having a big day tomorrow. Go ahead, Lance.
Well, anyway, insofar as God not exactly endorsing President, well, I know he would not endorse a group whose main thing in life seems to be killing our own young. That I'm positive of. And anything else that Trump would do to me is, like I said, it's like comparing a jaywalker to Jeffrey Dahmer. I mean, really, anything else he ever did, the adultery, that's all throws away compared to, you know, 60 million of our own. They just flushed down the
One of our listeners texted us a couple weeks ago and said, President Trump probably doesn't do those things anymore that were mentioned.
Does he do them any less?
That's a good one.
Well, I was an abortionist at one time.
You actually performed abortions?
No. I mean, I'm saying if you agreed with it, as far as I'm concerned, you perform them.
Okay, well, let's just make that clear. An abortionist is one who performs abortions. If you want to say you were an abortion supporter, I think you're right.
Or pro-choice.
Or pro-choice.
They clean it up pretty nicely.
Let's make it clear, you didn't actually perform abortions.
Yeah. Well, anyway, too, on that, who would be king? In the Christian Bible, I believe it's in Daniel, they're discussing that as to who would be the next king. And I think it was Daniel who said, "For God doth choose from amongst the basest of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will."
Mm.
So
okay.
That's kind of
well, that
idea.
Explains a lot, actually.
that really does.
Sure does.
All right.
Sure.
Thank you so much, Lance.
You bet.
Appreciate the call. One more text, and then we'll be done with the ammo discussion.
It says, if a person's criminal status changes, it's the responsibility of law enforcement to make sure the newly minted criminal doesn't have firearms. How do they do that? If they have to catch them?
Well, they notify the system that there's a conviction, but none of that would be evident if you could just keep buying ammo or guns without an additional new background check.
Well, I don't see, unless they're standing at the border checking for imported bullets, how they're ever going to stop this from happening in California. If the cost of buying ammunition is driven up through this Proposition 63.
Oh, is that? See, I hadn't heard that.
Well, yeah. How can it not be if Liz Lance is correct and it costs you $25 to get a permit, a background check? Someone's got to pay for that background check, right? It's not the ammunition dealer,
no,
is it?
No, you pay $5. You do it when you get the background check.
Okay,
I think that's the normal fee that a dealer charges.
So what is it looking for? Just the things you outlined, whether or not my status has changed,
It's like a three-page form, but it's all normal things. It's your Social Security number and things. Half of it is so they can properly identify you, and then it has the, you know, the Q&A to see if you're on drugs.
I don't know. I've said before, if you want to control the gun problem, just don't sell ammunition. But I think this is going a little too far.
You're right. You nailed it. All right. Tomorrow you get the day off. You're going to the mayor's convention?
I'm going to the Pennsylvania State Boroughs Convention.
Boroughs Association. All right. Fabulous. We'll enjoy the day
off. Mayor's meeting is there.
John Shipman will be here tomorrow. Our good conservative co-host will be back. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WDK, OK, Sunbury.